to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. Hi, I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you're joining us today. God has a special message for you. We want to encourage you to take some notes, but most of all, to open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
Well, I don't want to start off a little bit depressing, but I don't think that we should ignore what happened this year so far. I know that we all that watch the news, or if your news source is Facebook, then great. You know, if your news source is the old newspaper, fantastic. But I think we're all on the same page when it comes to the news of what happened here in 2016 all over the world. First of all, we all know this one, mass shooting in Orlando, correct? Everybody knows that one. If you don't know that one, please read the news. Killed 49 people and injured about 53. Bombing in Brussels airport, killed 32 people. Baghdad bombing, killed at least 200 and injured 150. Shooting in Munich, Germany, killed 9 and injured 16. How about we bring it closer to home? Just yesterday morning, a man shot another man and murdered that man. Yesterday, I read the news that Charlotte Mecklenburg School is now recommending teachers, principals, and counselors to not call students boys and girls anymore, but students and scholars. And you know the reason why. I don't think I need to go into details into what that's about. And there's so much more about where we live and what's really going around us. And can I be honest? Because I think all of us at some point become so desensitized. Don't you think so? I think all of us even just kind of ignore, shrug it because, oh, it's another thing to talk about, another thing to dispute about or debate about. That we become oblivious to what's really going around us. But I think that Jesus tells us it's time that we are awakened to what's going on around us. It's time that we are aware what's going on in the world today. Because I don't know about you, Jesus is coming back soon. And I would not be surprised, and hopefully, this is my prayer, that Jesus comes back while I'm breathing. But, you know, that's just my prayer. I don't know about you. But I believe that we are in this day and age, that we are in need to wake up and start living as the disciples that Jesus called us to be. You know, it's so many times that we partake in living in sin, and so many times we partake in love in this world and realizing that we love every moment of the sin that we partake in. Don't you think so? Let's be honest here. You know, I'm not saying that we caused the shooting in Orlando, but how many times have we shot someone down with our words? I'm not saying that we initiated a bombing in Brussels, but how many times do we practice our judgments in destroying others? I'm not saying that we should conform to the school system, but how many times have we just given to the patterns of this world rather than conforming to Jesus, what is right, pure, and noble? You know, we need to wake up and to see what's really going on around us. And unfortunately, like I said before, we partake and love sin so much, don't we? Because it's so sweet. It's just like Adam and Eve. Look at what happened in Genesis, right? It was Eve who initiated it, but Adam partook in it. Who sinned more? Nobody. I mean, there are debates that, yeah, Eve sinned more, or, you know, Adam. No. They both sinned. It was forbidden, and they both did the act. They saw, and they ate, and they saw that it was good, and they saw that they were naked. Completely naked. And we see a similar story of this partaking, just as Adam partook in eating the apple, and as Eve partook in taking the apple and eating it. We see a similar story in Genesis 19. I don't know if you know about the Genesis 19, but we're going to read it together from verses 1 through 29. And I have it up on the screen here. This would work. Perfect. All right. Let's read it all together. That evening, two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom. Lot was sitting there, and when he saw them, he stood up there to meet them. Then he welcomed them and bowed with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "come to my house to wash your feet and be my guests for the night. You may then get up early in the morning and be on your way again." "Oh, no," they replied. "We'll just spend the night out here in the city square." But Lot insisted. So at last, they went home with him. Lot prepared a feast for them, complete with fresh bread made without yeast, and they ate. But before they retired for the night, all the men of Sodom, young and old, came from all over the city and surrounded their house. They shouted to Lot, "Where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out to us so we can have sex with them." Sounds like a lot of culture today, doesn't it? So Lot steps outside to talk to them, shutting the door behind him. "Please, my brothers," he begged, "don't do such wicked thing. Look, I have two virgin daughters. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do with them as you wish. But please, leave these men alone, for they are my guests and are under my protection." "Stand back," they shouted. "This fellow came to town as an outsider. Now he is acting like a judge. We'll treat you far worse than those other men." And they lunged towards Lot to break down the door. But the two angels reached out, pulled Lot into the house, and bolted the door. Then they blinded all the men, young and old, who were at the door of the house, so they gave up trying to get inside. Meanwhile, the angels questioned Lot. "Do you have any other relatives here in the city?" they asked. "Get them out of this place, your son-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone else, for we are about to destroy the city completely. The outcry against this place is so great, it has reached our Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot rushed out to tell his daughters and fiancés, "Quick, get out of the city, the Lord is about to destroy it." But the young men thought he was only joking. At dawn the next morning, the angels came insistent. "Hurry," they said to Lot, "take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city." When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safely outside the city. But the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, "Run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." "Oh no, my Lord," Lot begged. "You have been so gracious to me and saved my life. And you have shown such great kindness. But I cannot go to the mountains. Disasters will catch up to me there, and I will soon die. See, there is a small village nearby. Please let me go there instead. Don't you see how small it is? Then my life will be saved." "All right," the angel said. "I will grant your request. I will not destroy the little village. But hurry, escape to it, for I can do nothing until you arrive there." This explains why that village was known as Zoar, which means the little place. Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them along with other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. But Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind them, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Abraham got up early that morning and hurried out the place where he had stood in the Lord's presence. He looked out across the plain where Sodom and Gomorrah and watched the columns of smoke rose from the cities like smoke from a furnace. But God had listened to Abraham's request and kept Lot safe, removing him from the disaster that engulfed the city on the plain. You know, as we read the story, we're like, you know, it's familiar to us. It's very, very familiar. It's a story that we grew up, you know, if you grew up in the church, it's every Sunday school teacher teaches, right? It's a story that everybody knows in a sense. So what can we take away from Genesis chapter 19? Right? I mean, it's like, okay, great. You know? So what now? What do we do now? Well, I have three elements that I want us to look at in Genesis chapter 19. Because we have to, again, as we learned, we have to look at the whole context of what Genesis chapter 19 is about. We have to look at the before story of what happened before Genesis 19. And if you're taking notes, this is just for you to follow along and what's going on. First element is we cannot compromise with sin. We cannot compromise with sin. Lot kept compromising with the sin of this world. If you read the story of Abraham and Lot, right? Abraham and Lot were like brothers, if you know the story. They were like brothers. They shared wealth. They shared, you know, expenses, they livestock, money, supplies, etc. And in Genesis 13, we see that Abraham, which was Abram back then, and Lot separate their ways. And Genesis 13:10, Lot is going towards Sodom. He sees this plain field, and he sees this fertile land, and he's saying, I am going over here, because that looks fantastic. But that was a direction towards Sodom. That was his compromise of, the first compromise that he did of sinning. Then in Genesis 13:12, Lot is pitching his tent towards Sodom. I'm sorry, that was 10. And then we see 14:12, Lot is living in Sodom now. Now, if you don't know what happens before this, their kings are in a fight, right? Their kings are in a fight, and Sodom and Gomorrah, king loses. And Abraham has to go and rescue Lot from the king. Now, in the Genesis 19, we see Lot sitting in the gates of Sodom. You know, how many times are we like Lot in this story, aren't we? Right? We say, oh, it's okay, it's just one sip. And then later we know it, we've had too many. Or it's okay, it's just one gossip, right? And then our relationship is broken through that. Or we say, hey, it's okay, it's just a little white lie. And that white lie destroys everything around us. We compromise every day, and compromise of sin will only bring consequences. You know, it's clear that the man of Sodom came to homosexually abuse the men, the two angels that were there. And this clearly shows why God is not pleased with Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it's right there and we can see it. I don't need to go in and explain to you why. And I just want to punch Lot in the story, don't you? I just want to go ahead and just punch him in the face and be like, really? Why would you give up your daughters to these men that are coming to your house? I'm like, I don't have daughters yet, but if you have daughters, you just want to be like, what? Right? But as I read this and as I studied this, and scholars say there are two reasons why. Reason number one, it was because the Eastern tradition. I read this and I laughed because I'm like, the tradition of what? Well, the tradition of when a guest comes into your house, your guest is greater than your family. And I'm like, what? That's nuts to me. I'm from the East. And no, right? And my family is more important than my, you know, the guests that are in my house. So that was the reason number one, the scholars think. Reason number two, because these men were in this homosexual sin, Lot thought that if he offered his daughters, that they would just turn away and walk away. That was reason number two. You know, whatever the reason was, Lot is playing with fire. And because of Lot's compromise, so many different possibilities of sodomy could have happened. See, this idea of just once, this idea of, hey, it'll be okay just this time, this idea of compromising with sin in this world will only bring destruction and consequences. Because once we do that, we open up so many doors for Satan to get a hold of our foot. And I know that we've seen the news a lot of days that we look at this and go, man, it's like the leaders are just compromising. These Christian leaders are compromising to the patterns of this world to fit into the mold of this culture. And I see that and I go, what is the gain and the benefit of that? Well, what can we gain from fitting into the mold rather than fitting into the mold of the cross? Second element we need to look at is that we cannot linger in sin. First one is compromising, because compromising is, you know, it's okay. It's okay to do this. But second is we cannot linger in sin. Lot himself was a righteous man. Don't forget, God said himself that Lot was righteous. And he was grieved of sin when he saw it around him. But compromise had destroyed his testimony. But he didn't understand the full seriousness of the situation, what was really going on around him. When the men of Sodom came out the door to give the two visitors, Lot did not see the situation clearly because we see him buddy-buddying here. Ready? Genesis 19:7. Please, my brothers. I don't call anybody my brother, right? I mean, you're all of my brothers and my sisters, right? But I don't go around saying, you're my brother. You're my brother. But we see Lot here clearly saying, hey, brothers, listen. He doesn't understand what's really going on around what's about to happen. Lot doesn't understand that. He's just lingering in sin and just kind of, you know, hey, this is the normal thing that happens around here. And then we see two visitors drag Lot back, you know, inside and blinding them and for them not to find the door. And the blindness was just a physical blindness, but it also shows their spiritual blindness around them, doesn't it? It's the spiritual blindness of Lot and of the men that are there to show them, hey, we really don't know what's going on. You know, our society has this blindness called moral blindness, right? We can no longer tell between what is right and what is wrong. It's like following someone who's blind, and that's not fun. And I need two volunteers, young, who might be, mobile. I just need two volunteers. All right, perfect. Jack and Aaron, all right, come up here. Perfect. Thank you. Jack, sit down, and I want you to put this on over your eyes. Okay? I want you to put this on over your eyes. Come stand right here. Right here. Okay. Cool. I'm going to put a series of obstacles in front of you, and I need you to get through it towards the end. Okay? All right. Cool. Without hitting them. I made you sign a waiver, so we're all right. Cool. All right, Aaron. There are obstacles in front of you. Please come and come towards the end.
How far is the end?
I don't know. Without hitting them. All right, twice. Good job, Aaron. All right. Now, stand right there. Stand right there. Jack. Come here. Grab my hand. I'm just kidding. Grab my hand. Stand right here. Aaron, put your blindfold on. Okay? Aaron, I want you to guide him through this obstacle.
Okay.
Go ahead. Jack, listen to Aaron's voice.
Walk 3 steps forward. Okay. 2 steps to your left. Okay, they keep walking straight. Okay. Yeah,
all right, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Let's give her a clap, round of applause. Woo! So we see this. Thank you. You can give me that. I need those. This is for my workout. I promise it wasn't sweaty. It was worst. And we see this. This idea of blind leading the blind, that's what our society has come to because we're not holding on to. And I'm not just talking about the government officials. I'm talking about our Christian leaders today. That we look at it and go, what, that came from the Bible? No, it didn't. You know, and we look at it and we are having the blind leading the blind. And I think it's time that we not follow what the culture tells us and linger in it, but what the Bible tells us of what it means to be a disciple and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Because it is only Jesus who can take off that blindfold and we can walk. And we see, you know, Lot is a great example for what we should not do. in this story. We see Lot being dull again. This story gets me because, remember, he's already rescued from the city of Sodom. And then what does he do? He hesitates. He says, when Lot still hesitated. I'm like, what? Dude, you just got rescued from the city that you're living in sin of. How could you hesitate and tell the angels what to do, first of all, in the later in the chapter, what to do? Hey, I don't want to go to that city, but I want to go to this city because I feel a lot safer. Even after the two visitors, the angels have warned him, he just hesitates, and because of overwhelming wickedness that he wasn't able to see clearly of what was really, really going on. They had to grab him and make sure he ran out the city. We have so many dull moments like Lot. And we're like, everything is butterflies and lilies in the field. But if we look at, and if we have the eyes of Jesus, when he takes off our blindfold, we'll see something totally different. Too much of Lot's heart was in Sodom because he's been living in it. He's been bathing in it. He's been with the people. And he was so not very anxious to leave the city. You know, we have sins that we can let go. And the only way that we can see the truth of who we are and what we sin is being intimate with God. And having him as a light in our blindness. And I think I've shared this story before, but there's a science experiment with a frog. A frog experiment. And if you put a frog into a already boiling water, what happens? It jumps up. Right? Because the frog understands that what? The water is hot. It's hot. I mean, if you've ever been burned by hot water, it's hot. I work at a cafe and y'all know it's hot. Water's hot. But if you put a frog into a room temperature and you just kind of, I know this is, I'm sorry for all you animal lovers out there, right? But if you put a frog into a room temperature and you slowly boil it and turn the temperature up, guess what the frog does? It'll just boil and boil. It'll just stay there because he doesn't realize the seriousness of the situation. He won't realize it until, what, he's dead, first of all, right? And he'll be already cooked and ready to eat, right? I mean, frog leg is delicious. So it's just like this frog. We are in necessity to see the situation how Jesus would see it. Because if Jesus sees it, then we will jump out like the frog. But if we don't, then we're just going to just bathe in it. We're just going to boil and we're just going to die. Because we don't know the seriousness of the situation. I remember my friend back in college. He said, you know, my girlfriend died. We can't stop doing it in the back of our car. But we pray all the time. Right? I'm like, dude, stop. What are you talking about? Right? And he said, after he heard a sermon of just, you know, Joseph running, right, from the house of Potiphar. And he said, there was one night that I said, God, I can't do this. And he actually literally ran away from his girlfriend. And yeah, but it's going to be like that. You know, it's going to be, you got to run. You got to run away from the sin that God, that Satan is trying to pull you into. Just like the frog. You know, working uptown, I get to see so many things. Working uptown, it's crazy. Because where I work, it's in a little alleyway. And there are, bars everywhere. When I say bars everywhere, I mean, I come at 6 o'clock in the morning and beer bottles just laid out in plain sight. And it's amazing just to see how people don't see that because they don't have Jesus. And it breaks my heart. That's why my heart breaks for the city of Charlotte. Because if we don't see that, then how can we be a witness if we're not willing to come out of sin ourselves? Last element is we need to look forward to our deliverance with Jesus. See, Jesus has already given us the freedom to be freed from sin. He's already done it. Now it is our choice to whether we look back at the lifestyle that we used to live and to linger in it, or to move forward into the new lifestyle, into the new life that Jesus has given to us. It's our choice. Because we could say that, hey, I believe in Jesus, but still live in the old lifestyle of that party lifestyle or whatever, that gossip lifestyle you have. Or you have the choice to move forward and trust God every time you come up with the situation that, you know, might put you back. You know, when a runner runs, and I'm sure Aaron knows this, when a runner runs, the only thing that runner looks forward to is what? The goal, right? The goal is the only thing that the runner looks forward to. And a great example of is this. Who's been watching the Olympics? Cool. Okay, so three of you. Great. Right? So who's, if you don't know, you've probably seen it in the news. Michael Phelps has won his 22nd gold medal. And that broke a record of 2,158 years of record of Olympics. Over 2,000 years. That's like when Jesus was here, right? I mean, it's crazy to think about. Well, this picture shows what I just talked about. The runner has a goal that he needs to, you know, focus on. If you don't know who this is, the runner here, I mean, the swimmer here is Phelps, right? Phenomenal. Phenomenal swimmer. Love it. That is Chad from Brazil. And if you don't know the backstory of what happened, you know, and I'll tell you a little bit because this is exciting. Chad had trash-talked to Phelps and saying, I'll beat you this year, right? And Phelps is like, okay, whatever. Well, this is a picture of Phelps beating Chad. And what is Chad doing? Eyes off the prize. This is when I saw this picture, I'm like, no wonder why Chad lost. It's not the trash talking that made Chad lose, but it's the idea that Chad was checking on up on his opponent rather than focusing on what was ahead of him, which was the gold medal. Looking back has a huge impact on the race of a mind of the swimmer. If you don't know, I mean, if you ever ran a race before, I don't like being last. And when I look at the first place, and I give up because I can't catch up to that person. But if I have my eyes on the prize and say, whatever it is that I need to keep going, rather than how far that first person may be, I'll get there. Coaches always tell runners to never look back to other runners because you will lose the place. You know, and we see Lot's wife looking back. We see Lot's wife looking back. And this word, looked back, it's not this. And that's not the word is implying here. The word here, look back, is saying it's an intently looking back. Meaning she missed Sodom and Gomorrah. She felt the need to look back because all of her possession was being burned away. All of her lifestyle was being burned away. All of her friends were being burned away. So she intently looked back and saw what was going on and turned into a pillar of salt. You know, even Jesus refers to Lot's wife when he talks about the kingdom in Luke chapter 17. Let me read this for you. And the world and the Pharisees are asking about the kingdom of God, right? And so this is Jesus' answer. The world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, like how we are doing right now, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building. Sounds like what we're doing at the current moment in our culture, doesn't it? Until the morning Lot left Sodom, then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed, which when Jesus is coming back. On that day, a person out of the deck of the roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your wife, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. This is Jesus talking about the kingdom of God. This is Jesus talking about himself returning back later on. Jesus is trying to say that we should not have like heart like Lot's wife, loving the world and forgetting who's really coming back. Being in the world and really being immersed in it and trying to pack these things when Jesus comes back. No, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back and we have nothing to pack but ourselves. And say, okay, Jesus, take me now, right? It's not about how many things we could take into heaven. It's not about how many families we could take into heaven. It's not about how many, you know, livestock we could take into heaven. But it's about the glory of who Jesus is when he comes back. See, we cannot have a heart that loves the world. And we need to look forward to the deliverance who Jesus is. Because he is coming back. We so often look for temporary situations to fix our needs or to satisfy our thirst in a way. Rather, we need to look forward to what Jesus has for us in his second coming instead of looking back in the temporary world. Our eyes need to be on the prize, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. That is our prize. Our prize is on that and that's it. Our prize is on is the second coming of Jesus. It's the new heavens on earth. That's the prize that we need to look at. If we as understood this temporary life that we live, in this lifestyle that we linger in and we compromise in, then we really need to adjust our compass to where our eyes are on the prize, who's Jesus. You know, the only explanation that I came up with of what's really happening around today's news and in the world is sin. I mean, that's the only explanation. It's not the bomb itself. It's not the gun itself. It's not the knife itself. It's not the, you know, the tongue, right? But it's just sin that is just consuming the lives of people. You know, not just as sinning as individuals, but sinning as a nation. Sinning as a nation as well. You know, it's compromise when there's a dispute among the family. It's compromising of sin when there's a dispute in equal marriage, when God's purpose is the original creation is for men and women to get married. It is a compromise of sin that we have threats from different countries. Security threats because of sin. Lingering in sin will only allow us to sink deeper into the quicksand. So what do we do now? What is our job as Christians, as disciples, to not compromise, to not linger? See, our job is to keep pointing people to the cross. That's our job. Because we could sit and complain and complain and complain about what's really going on in this world. We could sit and just, you know, bathe in the debates that are going in this world. But if we are not, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are pointing people to the cross, then why are we here? If we're not pointing people to the truth, if we're not saying, listen, this is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. And if we're just complaining, then we're just complaining. We're no different than people of this world. But we as Christians, we have the obligation and responsibility that Jesus gives us in Matthew 28 to make disciples. And go into the nations and make disciples. That is our obligation. When you said, I believe in Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior. I know that he is coming back. I know that he is a healer. When you said those words in your heart and with your mouth, we as Christians now have the responsibility to make disciples. And if we are sitting here and complaining about what's going on around the world, then we need to rethink. We need to rethink. It's time to stop compromising with sin. It's time to stop lingering in sin. And it's time to start looking forward to who Jesus is and who He is. Because that's where His glory belongs. Because in the midst of the chaos, His glory will still shine if we do our job. In the midst of sin, somehow, some way, I don't see it at the current moment, but I pray that I will soon, that in the midst of the sin, that God's glory will be shown amongst all men. So let's not be like Lot's wife, or let's not slowly creep into sin like Lot did. But let's keep our eyes on the price, just as Christ called us to do.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.